Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's just a privilege to be called your children. It's a privilege to be your sheep and have the Lord Jesus as our shepherd. And it's a privilege to be dreaming together about what you will do through us in the coming months and years. We ask, Lord, that you would speak to each of our hearts, meet us where we're at, and draw us all into this journey with you. We pray it in the name of Jesus for his glory's sake. Amen. Well, I wonder what you wanted to be when you grew up, if you have indeed grown up. I had an ever-changing list, park ranger, which blows my mind and maybe blows your mind if you know me. I don't 100% love camping, but I loved the environment. Architect, interior designer, lawyer, biomedical engineer, psychiatrist. Perhaps you always knew that you wanted to be a teacher or a CEO. Maybe until last week you were still flip-flopping between, I don't know, fireman and Spider-Man. I don't know. Well, according to various surveys, those days of having your long list of things that you want to be are over. Now, between one-third and three-quarters, that's not a good statistical spread, but it's true, of children surveyed wanted the same career. Can you guess what it is? YouTuber. Yes, that's right. YouTuber. What they want to be when they grow up is on YouTube. Now, it's not for the money, apparently, although I would say that being able to support yourself by playing video games and telling other people about what you're doing while you're playing video games is pretty good, or trying on clothes, or commenting on other people's TikToks as your source of income. That sounds like a pretty sweet deal. But there's another huge draw card for our kids, and it is fame. We want to be known. Now, my generation knows about fame, right? It was women just a touch younger than me, like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, who became the poster girls for being famous for being famous, right? And really, being famous for being rich, let's be honest, but being famous for being famous. My generation saw the rise of reality TV, like watching something that has nothing. And then you just keep going. Big Brother, American Idol. Now, American Idol had something, especially the outtakes. They were... I've never seen it, but the Real Housewives of insert name here. And we know the pitfalls, we know the shallowness, we know the consumerism, we know perhaps even the soul damage, I think, for those who are on our screens, who are seeking fame at all costs. And yet we can't seem to look away. Of course, the idea of fame as an end in itself extends way back beyond my generation. Raquel Welch, Andy Warhol, Oscar Wilde all have been described as being famous for being famous, or well-known for being well-known, or notorious for their notoriety. There's always been something about being recognised, admired, talked about. Oscar Wilde himself said, "There's only one thing in life worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about." Or as this generation might say, "There's only one thing worse than having your every move seen by the public, and that's having none of it seen at all." In a strange way, the pandemic has kind of given churches their 15 minutes of fame, as Andy Warhol predicted. Every Sunday, many of you, and always me, are internet stars for 1.5 hours, you wish it was shorter, via Facebook Live, which apparently is also the way to become an online star if Jimmy Rees's Meanwhile in Australia is anything to go by. Live streaming has meant that we have entered this world of public exposure, which we may not have chosen to prioritize had it not been a necessity in this strange 20 months of being locked down. Now, speaking personally, I don't love being on TV each Sunday. Now, again, just like Park Ranger, you might be like, no, really. But I'm insecure enough about this, that, and the other thing without having it all out there for the world to see and comment on. But in this polarized world, it's not just me and my insecurities that kind of is nervous about fame and exposure. I mean, it's actually becoming riskier for churches to have their sermons, their messages, their material, their stance available for all to see, to analyze, to disagree with, to bring before certain legislative bodies. Well, we don't do disagreement well in Australia. We don't do disagreement well in the West, but it's even worse in other places in the world. You remember when we had Timothy Lau come and he shared some pictures of churches being pulled down in another nation? And we couldn't leave that video up because that was not actually safe exposure. Of course, we're finding in Victoria that there are more legal complexities around ministry, and particularly any public ministry. So it's got to make you wonder, makes me wonder anyway, whether keeping things quiet is the way to go, right? If we can all just come in here and lock the doors and we say our thing and we go home. And I mean, private faith has always been more acceptable, right? And especially in the West. It's fine, just keep it to yourself. But in the middle of this incredible complexity, Jesus speaks these words. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Despite the risks, despite our insecurities, Jesus is telling our church to be famous. Maybe that sounds outrageous, but if famous means to be known, to be talked about, to be seen, that's what Jesus is telling us. Disciples, you've got to be right out there, lit up for all to see. Hiddenness, privateness, quietness, absolutely, when it comes to matters of spiritual boasting. Jesus talks about that, prayer, almsgiving. That's not for showing off. But hiddenness, privateness, quietness, when it comes to being the people of God for the sake of the world, to being Deep Creek, no. You've got to be famous. But famous for what? Are we going to be famous for being famous? What are we going to be famous for? Well, over the last couple of months, I've asked the staff team, I've asked the parish council, I've asked growth group leaders to think about this, to prayerfully consider, what do you want to be famous for? Because being famous as the church is not an option. What are you going to be famous for? Well, some of their answers were as follows. I want us to be famous for spirit-filled worship sessions. I want us to be famous for kids who have a real and owned faith. I want us to be famous for being safe and fully compliant when we minister to children and vulnerable people. I want us to be famous for creating new leaders and training up and empowering great volunteers. I want us to be famous for having effective ministry transitions between each age group in our multi-generational church. I want us to be famous for our hospitality and welcome, for using our facilities, outdoor spaces, and our homes to bless and provide for others. I want us to be famous for being a place of deep training and education in faith which can be lived out. I want us to be famous for our vibrancy and fun, for being a place that you want to be. I want us to be famous as a growth group for continuing to seek Him in all that we do, for having the ability to listen to Him intently. I want our growth group to be famous for having one heart and one mind in living out a generous life. I want Deep Creek to be famous for being a place people can come with their questions. And I want Deep Creek to be a place that makes a difference, that if you come and you're in need, we can find help. Aren't these incredible? It just is so amazing that each one with the DNA of our larger church can think, yes, if we're going to be famous, oh, let's make it count. And there were many more as well. We're on Facebook. We're out there. We have to be shining as a city on a hill. So let's make it count. Now, we already have a vision and mission statement which draws so many of these hopes together. We want to be a welcoming and growing multi-generational church with refreshing faith in Jesus Christ, being life-giving to the believer, surprising to the world, and strengthening to the weary and doubting. In 2022, we're particularly examining whether we have been hitting the mark on those first three adjectives. You got to check. I mean, there's a lot of things going on at once here. Are we welcoming? Are we growing? And are we multi-generational? These three adjectives are going to be capturing our attention. I mean, they're always part of our vision, but coming out of the last 2 years, we now have an opportunity to say we have space to really make these things happen. So, how can we welcome people into refreshing faith? How can we grow in our own faith and in the number of those being reached to have their own faith in Jesus? How are we empowering every single age group to develop a faith that's their own, resilient and fresh in their own context? So, our vision is for 7 new areas of development. Hard for you to read that, possibly. It certainly is for me. Firstly, a focused ministry with older youth, including Bible study, mentoring, and support. Secondly, a quarterly youth service to provide a space for worship and prayer for our young people. They have amazing programs, but they're not actually experiencing what it's like to be in church and to engage with a God who's worthy of our worship. We want to do Alpha, which we haven't been able to do for a while because of capacity and a number of things, as a way of saying it's time to face outward. And it's time for us to renew our own passion. We want to provide more parenting support And I'm thinking particularly for families, parents of those children going into high school or in older high school. It's an increasingly complex and difficult time for those young people to navigate their identity, to navigate Christian faith, and to work out how they are going to live out the call of Jesus in this very different world. We want to provide regular home communion visits or midweek services, whatever is appropriate, for our older members. Over the last couple of years, some of the faces that you were used to seeing, who might be in their 70s, 80s or above, have not been able to come back to church. A lot can happen as a person ages, and many of them now feel that that 8 o'clock's too early, or that coming out of the home is too difficult. One of them said, oh, it's okay, it's a young person's church now. That's not acceptable. We're a multi-generational church. And so whatever we need to do to meet all ages with the opportunity to engage with Christ and worship, I want us to be able to do. We want to optimize our outdoor spaces for community building. We have started to do all kinds of little things and bigger things in the building itself. But in this world of, well, we really need fresh air, we've got some great outdoor spaces. So we want to see if we can start to work out how we can use those as gathering points, as places where people can meet. Phil, my husband, has incredible vision for one day the car park being filled with food trucks and us having picnic tables down on the grass. And I love all food. So I'm for this vision very strongly. And our seventh new initiative is to use new training materials for our volunteer leaders to grow in confidence and capacity. We've actually got quite a few new faces serving in all kinds of ways. And it's not appropriate to think people know how it's done. And actually, we're all coming from careers that have nothing to do with how we're serving at church, but our heart is that we want to do this, that, and the other thing to make God famous. And so we want to make sure that you're well-trained and that that is accessible to you. So maybe online, we don't want it to be onerous. And really, we need to work on, outside of this, our flexibility. Now, we've been pretty good. But in COVID times, it's hard to know who's going to be able to be here. That's okay. I actually think it's really important to name that. Things aren't going to look like what they looked like before. Rosters are hard to fill. That's not the aim of a church, by the way, even though it feels like it at times. And so we need to have a heart of flexibility. We want to be famous for being a place that's welcoming, growing, multi-generational with refreshing faith, but we want to be flexible as to how that's going to look. So those seven new initiatives don't actually have like what you'd call smart goals attached to many of them at the moment. You know, a quarterly youth service, yes, we can put the dates there. But we need to be flexible. We need to be responsive to what is needed, to who comes, and who's available. I want to tell you the story of what happened last week. And I've been thinking about this message for a long time, but it just exemplified to me the incredible flexibility that is possible here as we keep in step with the Holy Spirit. As you know, or as you might know, I had to turn a gentleman away at the door at 10 a.m. last week, and I came back to the notices quite shaken, because that's like the opposite of what you want to do, right? He wasn't angry, but he was very much in need and he was really wanting to have a good chat. And so we invited him to 5 p.m. And given that it was only me at 5 p.m. the previous week, suddenly flexibility was extremely important. So we were able to ask some people to take Phoebe that evening so that Phil could come with me. Flexibility, amazingness, number one. Guy turns up at 4:30. And here I was setting up, and Phil drove into the car park. And so the three of us got to have a great chat. And he said, oh, there's not really a service here tonight, is there? And we said, oh, yeah, it's just going to be small. And then Renee turns up at 5 o'clock. And she hadn't seen me looking shaken in the morning service. She didn't know anything. But she, in her flexibility and in just following the prompting of the Holy Spirit, just rocks up, and we had a small Bible study and communion service in here around the communion table. Phil could share from his passage the week before, which was about suffering and doing good, and it just resonated just incredibly with this gentleman's life. And we knew that he had some strong views about not being vaccinated. And I was stressed because I'm like, this is so incredible. He lives in those flats around the corner. Like, this is our vision to, you know, reach these new groups. What are we going to do? I said, I'm so sorry. We haven't got a service coming up for unvaccinated people, maybe for a little while. And he said, what? Can we talk about it? And he shared his concerns. I'm not going to go into the details because I don't want to minimise your own views on this. But as we talked about it, and as we shared why we felt we were comfortable with it, etc., and that we were so sorry, we'd love to have him involved, he said, I'll just go get it then. And we couldn't believe it. And I said, oh, Do you need some help? Would you like me to take you somewhere where, you know, they're doing it? Oh, no, my doctor around the corner, he'll do it. And he said, I'd love to. I want to meet people. I want to be included. I don't want to sit at home. And not that this is about vaccination. This is about how keeping in step with the Spirit, being incredibly flexible, having Renee just hear the voice of God to say, go to church at 5 o'clock. Meant that this gentleman, who's pretty different to me, could feel like, I want to do that because I want to be here. It was amazing. Now, I don't know when we will see him again, but to me that was incredible example of God saying, you guys follow my heart, you guys be willing to be flexible and see what happens. So for us, we have these 7 new initiatives, we have our vision, we have all the great stuff that we're already doing. We have a direction, but there may be different ways in which we go there. Alpha might be only online. Alpha might happen towards the end of the year. We don't know. We want to be flexible, we want to be responsive, but we've heard God. And so you and I are accountable for these new directions. Well, I'm aware that time is moving on, but I wanted to say I really believe that Deep Creek is a church and a community that is doing this flexibility and keeping in step with the Spirit well already. And so I have confidence that as we move into next year with these new initiatives, that as we hear the voice of the shepherd, that we're going to see great things. So I wanted to finish off with a word about fighting FOMO. Now, I don't know if you know of FOMO. It stands for fear of missing out. And I haven't really spoken strongly into our context of coming out of being the most locked down city in the world. And we need to know that context. Things are not normal. Things are not as they were in 2019. And you and I and our children have missed out on a lot. And so when it comes to weekends in 2022, or weekdays, events, groups, there's going to be an incredible pressure on you and I to make the most of everything. And we're going to see this event and that event. And we're going to see this opportunity and that opportunity. And we're going to sit feeling the pressure to do it all and feeling the fear of missing out. I want to tell you a story. There was two human beings in the Garden of Eden. And they looked around at everything that was given to them. This incredible creation. This relationship where they could walk with the creator of the universe in the cool of the day. And the snake came to them and said, "Aren't you missing out? If you walk in this way, if you live with all of this goodness, but you do not take this fruit, you will miss out." And so, because of their fear of missing out, because of their belief that actually there was some good withheld from them by the Creator God, they took the fruit and they found themselves leaving the garden. What they didn't perhaps know was that the intention of the Creator, as they enjoyed everything He had given them, was to bring them from life to more life. We sometimes think that the Garden of Eden was this kind of high point, and that everything, even for those humans there, would have been either plateau or downhill. They were the only options. But actually, when they leave the garden, God says, let's make sure they can't come back so that they don't eat of the tree of eternal life. That was going to be an option as human beings stayed in relationship with God. The intention was that God would move human beings from life into greater life. Life to life to life. There would always be a deepening. There would always be an expanding. There would always be greater life ahead. You and I are going to be faced with choices every single day in 2022. And we don't need to feel guilty about doing some of those things that we have missed out on. They are gorgeous, wonderful gifts from God. See your family. Go to the beach. Go and play sport. Enjoy time with others. Be hospitable. But if we get to the point where we're doing those things because we actually don't believe that true life, that life to life, is found in the worship of God and doing the good works that God has planned in advance for us, then we've believed that same lie that happened back in the garden. It makes me want to cry because I know that I do it constantly. That I don't believe that God has life to life for me. That I am tempted, just like you are, to think, if I prioritize this moment, this community, I'm going to miss out. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." We have missed out. Life has not been as expansive as we longed for. But friends, if in 2022 you are tempted to feel like ultimate life is found outside, the people of God and centering around his word and engaging in community and worship. Watching online is great. Absolutely. Please do that. But it doesn't catch every muscle of faith, right? You know, when you've been walking or something and you're like, I'm pretty fit. You go to the gym and you do a class and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't sit down or get in the car. That's just me. There are muscles that are not used in our faith life when we're watching online. There are muscles that are used, which is fantastic, and I definitely am keen for it and share it and all of that. But there's got to be other times that you engage with the people of God face to face, that you receive prayer, that you study the word, that you share about your life, that you share Christ with others. Jesus himself now brings us from life to life, but it does go through death. We've seen this at other times during the year in our sermon series. This is the pattern of the Christian life, and it is the promise to which God says, Amen. You're given life, but in Jesus you are promised more life, life to life. Jesus goes through death and we follow him at various times and in various ways, but we are going from life to life, and you will never miss out on life if you follow him. Whatever weariness, whatever dryness, whatever unfruitfulness, whatever brokenness, whatever loneliness, whatever question, doubt you have, the life is in the worship and the works of the people of God. And so you won't miss out. Let's pray. O God, our true and highest life, by whom, through whom, and in whom all things live, which live truly and blessedly, by whom, through whom, and in whom all good things are good and lovely, mercifully grant that your life may be in ours forevermore. We return to you, O Lord, that from their wanderings and weariness our souls may rise towards you, leaning on the things you have created and passing on to yourself who has made them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.